I'm Bruce Van Dyke.
I'm Craig Adams.
And we are joined in studio this morning with a member from the Amherst Historical Society. We have Kathy Dean Dielman. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me
well,
on.
The last time we were in your territory, we were doing the spotlight on Amherst.
And that's right, Arabica.
Out that way. Now you've come out here because there's something coming up this weekend. Tell us about By My Lantern's Light.
Oh, it is. I am so proud of this event. This is our fifth By My Lantern's Light event. This was started in 2012, and what we do at the Sandstone Village, which is a very, very special place. It's if you've never been there, they've got lots of buildings throughout the village, and they're all restored and it's beautifully taken care of, and it gives you a feeling of old time Amherst and old time Ohio.
They moved buildings.
They
then,
did.
Right? Okay.
The only one that was original and has been there the whole time was the schoolhouse, the Grange Hall. Everything else was moved there.
So preserving the history of Amherst there.
Oh, yeah.
In this village.
What By My Lantern's Light does is you take small groups of people, usually 10 to 12, and each group is led by someone carrying a lantern, hence the name. And at each stop, they get a bit of Amherst history. Or not even, mostly Amherst, sometimes just local, like Gore Orphanage, which is close to Amherst. Mm-hmm. And all the stories are true stories, but they all have a spooky twist to them.
And these are probably very lesser known type of stories, right? You mentioned before we went on the air that you kind of go through the archives of newspaper or mm-hmm. some other written documentation. Maybe families know of certain things. Who does all that? Who does that research?
Well, we have a wonderful research group. They meet on Monday nights at our office at 113 South Lake Street. And they go through all the records of the obituaries, the newspaper articles. If you want to find out anything about Amherst or local history, you go there. And these people are wonderful. And what they've been doing for the past couple of years, if they find a story and there's a body count, they give it to me. And I've been able to take it, and some friends of mine have helped me too, and bring the story to life, bring a backstory to it, help make it a good, because you read an article and it's fine, but you want to hear a story. Like we've talked about a gentleman who, when we had a flu epidemic in the early 20th century, nobody wanted to touch the bodies. Not even the funeral directors, because they were afraid of getting the flu or whatever it was. Right. So they paid a town, for less of a better word, lack of a better word, a town drunk, maybe, you want to use that word. And they say, okay, we'll give you a bottle of booze for every body you dispose of. Just we won't ask any questions. And he would go and distribute the bodies, bring a change of clothes. And you would find newspaper articles of they would find a skeleton here, a skeleton there, parts of people when they would make new developments in Amherst. This actually happened. I have the articles.
So obviously Amherst is historic.
Mm-hmm.
But it's spooky, too?
Yeah. Well, I think every town, large and small, has these kinds of stories. It's a matter of if you want to find out what they are. But remember, Amherst has been around. It's been incorporated in 1811. So it's got over 200 years of history. And it's just really fascinating. But this event is not haunted. You can bring your whole family. Nope, nothing's going to jump out at you. None of that. And the stories are all about maybe 5 to 6 minutes, so it's not long. You move on to the next story. At the end, you go to the schoolhouse. You get cider and donuts, and that's included with the price. And it's just a fun event that you learn a little bit of history, and it's just a really neat thing. You feel the leaves crunching under your feet. You smell the wood burning. It's a wonderful experience. I'm very, very proud of it, and all our volunteers will help us.
Well, you must have some very good storytellers, too, because that's the key to bring it to life. Now, I see on the poster here, there's people sort of in a costume or something. Do people sort of dress of the period or at least of some sort of time frame?
Oh, yeah. We have a storehouse of costumes, and I'm always combing eBay for new costumes. And we have everybody dressing from probably the mid-19th century to the early 20th century. And they all wear the old-fashioned clothes when they take people around in the village and when they're telling their stories.
Now, without giving away the stories, uh-huh. can you give sort of the headlines of some of the stories that will be discussed?
Okay, we have a favorite every year. It's called The Body in the Basement. And we talk about the Amherst train wreck. Now, this is the 100th anniversary of the Amherst train wreck, 1916. We talk about one of the undertakers who took care of the bodies and what happened to him as he was taking care of the bodies. It's a wonderful story. That one stays every year. All the stories switch except for two. Gore Orphanage, because it's a local legend, and The Body in the Basement, which is in the which is about the Amherst train wreck. That one's told in the caboose. You see all the pictures from the Amherst train wreck. It's a really, really great story.
You talked about, from years gone by, finding bones, things like mm-hmm. that. Do you have anything really current, anything relatively new?
Well, you know, the morbid part of me says if I read a newspaper, I go, oh, that'd be a good story. But, you know, I've thought about that, and it's a little too recent.
There's people,
could be exactly.
relatives, family, next of kin, a lot of these stories, and we find out with it, they're sort of buried literally sort of in history.
Right.
And most of those, the participants or relatives who have long been, or generations have gone since
right.
then.
If it's someone's current family tragedy, I would feel in poor taste to use it for our entertainment.
Right.
But for anything like 100 years, all bets are off at that point.
You must find combing a lot of that archives. You sort of read newspaper things, and as anybody who reads newspapers, there's always, you start for one trail and it kind of takes you elsewhere. And then you sort of realize there's a lot of things back then that seem similar to today or different, or it doesn't seem like much has changed related to domestic issues, people, crimes, that type
sure.
of thing that goes on.
I keep
on.
Nodding my head like people can see me. I'm sorry.
Well, that's okay.
I forget we're on radio. But that's absolutely true. There are, you see how people are the same, where they're afraid of the same things. They always want to just, they want to keep themselves safe, their family safe. They get nervous about outsiders. It's just, the more things change, the more they stay the same.
This is My Lanterns Light, a Living History Experience. It's the 22nd, 23rd, 5 to 8.
The last tour leaves at 8 o'clock.
Okay, and how long are the tours? Or if you go on the...
It takes about an hour to go through okay. everything, and this is only one weekend.
Let's talk a little bit about Sandstone Village for mm-hmm. people who have not been there. As you mentioned earlier, some of the buildings have been moved in there. But people may also rent out or use at least one of those facilities.
Oh, yes. You can rent out the Grange Hall, which is the schoolhouse, and we can also rent out the chapel for weddings. People take a lot of pictures in our village because it's so pretty. And I'm on the board of directors there at the Historical Society, and we take a lot of care in everything we do there as far as promoting and as far as Terry Traster is our... is the gentleman who takes the most care of everything, and he just does a wonderful job all the time with everything. And we have a new fire museum there that was dedicated in 2013. It's fascinating to hear the fire history. Just the one section of taking care of people, how they took care of fires. And it's most people have been affected by this in some way or another. I don't know, I just think it's a wonderful place to be.
You mentioned the train wreck from mm-hmm. 100 years ago. What can you tell us about that?
The Amherst train wreck happened March 29th, 1916. Three trains collided in the fog. One had basically back-ended the other one. And if you were thrown from the two trains and you managed to live, well, you might have gotten run over by the third train that came over on the other track. It was a really tragic experience, and people had to come from all over the country to identify their loved ones. Some people only identified them by a watch, maybe a handkerchief with a monogram on it. Have you heard of Mary Pickford? She was an old
actress.
Yeah, right. She was on that train, and she was one of the people who helped take care of the injured. She didn't want to be a prima donna and not touch anybody. She went in there and helped. It was pretty fascinating.
Right. A lot of times when a tragedy hits a community, there's always something positive that comes out of it, mm-hmm. either with new regulations or maybe experiences of how to deal with something like that. Did you find that from any of this?
There was for the longest time, we heard a story that's how Lurie Memorial Hospital was built, was because they needed somebody to take care of the injured. But now we found out that myth has been debunked.
Oh, okay.
But still, just the idea of this little town, which was very little at the time, was overcome with all these people coming in, the press from all over the country, newspaper articles were all over the country talking about this little town and their train wreck. They had to house and take care of the dead, the mourning, the injured, and the people coming in to take care of them. So it's I think, you know, anything that would befall a community like this would be, people would learn from it.
Wow. Think of all the tragedy in the, you know, the tornado that would have struck in Lorraine. You have mm-hmm. different sorts of things that take place with the train wrecks and different injuries. And some of those things are long forgotten. But thanks to this, by my lantern's light, you'll learn a little bit about some of the individuals and people involved in past events taking place in Amherst. Again, the Amherst Historical Society. This is $3 per person, and children are welcome, but not admitted without it. They want to have an adult present with them.
Right, and it's like actually I forgot to put it on the flyer. Actually, it's 5 and under are free.
Okay. And again, you end up with cider and, did you say cider and donuts?
Or yeah, cider and little donut holes. You get that at the end, and that's included in the price.
Right. But buy my lantern's light. Now, what participation do you have in this, if anything?
Well, I always want to tell a story, but since it's I chair the event, I have to be kind of like the floater slash queen bee. I'm all over the place. If somebody needs something, I go in there and do it. But my husband's told stories. My daughter has helped tell stories. She's a lantern carrier. My mother does a huge backdrop in the Grange where you can get your picture taken. Tomorrow we'll be all day building that. If you know me and I like you a lot, usually I've recruited you to do something.
Help out with this big event. So obviously a community event, and invite other people from the community and outside to come to share some of the tales of spooky history told in a very special setting. And again, tours begin at 5, last one at 8 o'clock that evening. Again, it's October 22nd and 23rd.
Saturday and Sunday, yeah.
Amherst Historical Society. You can always find out more by checking out your website as well.
And we have a Facebook page, too, for Buy My Lanterns Light 2016.
I don't want to push things ahead, but I suppose once all this weekend goes through, then you start planning for your big Christmas in the village.
If only Halloween and Christmas were a little further apart, that would be really good, because that's my next baby, and that's the first weekend in December.
So you start getting that prepared. And then, of course, any kind of historic buildings decorated for Christmas always have a special look to them as well.
And now we have this in April. In February, we're going to have a special Abe Lincoln's birthday dinner celebration. We're going to have 19th century dinner, and Abe Lincoln will be there to visit, and we'll have more on that. Maybe I'll be able to come back the winter and talk about that.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the only reason you can come back is if you have something to talk about. We'll invite you back.
Okay.
And Abe had facial hair. Just remember that.
Oh, yes.
Because we talked earlier today about facial hair and presidents. So the last president with substantial facial hair was
Benjamin Harrison,
I believe is what you said. And then William Howard Taft had a mustache, but that was early 1900s.
Right. And maybe it was a prerequisite. Maybe you had to have facial hair to be president at some point. I'm not sure.
Right.
I'm just kidding.
That's right.